The Iranian president has ruled out the possibility of any changes to the 2015 nuclear agreements, known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA.
Our words are clear. We have an agreement called the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA. It will either survive or collapse. If it survives, it should survive completely. If not, then that's it. Everyone must bid farewell to it. Therefore, the JCPOA is neither alterable nor modifiable.
Hassan Rouhani also dismissed as baseless the U.S. threats against Tehran. Rouhani stressed that Washington itself is accused of not fulfilling its commitments under the agreement. He said that it will be the West who implores Tehran to come to the negotiating table should anyone scuttle the landmark accord. Meanwhile, the Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council has stressed that the Islamic Republic will not accept any agreements between the U.S. and the West about the future of the nuclear deal.
In this international meeting, where high-ranking representatives from more than 100 countries from five continents are present, I, on behalf of the Islamic Republic of Iran, stress that we will render null and void any agreement between the U.S. and Europe on the future of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action and Iran's nuclear program.
Ali Shamkhani, while in Russia's resort of Sochi, criticized the U.S. government's non-commitment under any internationally recognized agreements. The top Iranian security official said that Washington is violating the very basic principles of international law with regards to the nuclear deal. The French President Emmanuel Macron says that his country will not leave the 2015 Iran nuclear deal. Macron stressed that the signatories cannot get rid of the landmark nuclear accord known as the JCPOA. He was addressing a joint session of the U.S. Congress. The French president, however, said that they should start working on a new comprehensive deal with Iran. The remarks came one day after Macron's meeting with his U.S. counterpart, Donald Trump. Earlier, the Iranian president ruled out the possibility of any changes to the nuclear deal. Hassan Rouhani also questioned the legitimacy of Trump-Macron efforts to broaden the deal's terms. Navid Nas is radio host and political commentator, joining us from Zagreb. Now, there were some interesting points there made, Navid Nas, by the French president addressing U.S. Congress. One of them stands out, and that is the fact that he emphasized and underlined the fact that this nuclear deal known as the JCPOA was signed by these different countries, the U.S. being one of them, and of course France. And he says the fact that France has signed on to this deal, that means that they are not going to leave it. First of all, with whatever decision the U.S. makes, first of all, does that mean that French is speaking, therefore, for the EU as a whole?
Good to be on here with you. I think it does. I genuinely think it does mean that France is speaking for the EU as a whole here. The kind of overarching hostility that the U.S. government has shown towards Iran with regards to particularly to the nuclear deal here, and particularly when it comes to sort of like sanctions, economic sanctions and boycotts, its punishment, does not in any way, shape or form benefit the EU, just as that kind of hostility towards Russia does not benefit the EU. In actual fact, it doesn't benefit the US either, truth be told. There's something really off about the mentality of the U.S. elite, the U.S. ruling class, whatever you want to call it. I can't quite put my finger on it, except to say it has something to do with kind of ethnic, national nepotism with regards to the U.S. ruling class and its relationship with Israel. But I can't think of any way this kind of hostility has benefited either the U.S. or the EU. So I think Macron going to Trump and talking about this has been a positive development, and I very much doubt that it would have happened, a similar thing would have happened with President Hillary Clinton.
Okay, the one thing that is very evident in the approach it's been for quite some time, and by they I'm talking about in this case French and the U.S., is the way that they have treated other partners in this region, in particular, of course, aside from their own allies, Iran and Russia. The respect factor A comes into the picture, and the fact that they have been a major contributor in the fight against terrorism, and they were key in purging the region, in particular Syria and Iraq, of these Daesh terrorists. If the respect factor comes in, shouldn't they be part of the solution to the region, as opposed to the way that they think that, or the way that they are treating them?
Well, I mean, you know, the way they're treating them is shameful, particularly, like you said, with regards to the role that Iran and Russia have played in virtually eliminating the Daesh foothold in both of the countries, Iraq and Syria, that you mentioned. But, you know, I'm not sure to what extent it even matters. I mean, the fact is, the U.S. is not going to militarily attempt to drive out Iranian and Russian presence in either Iraq or Syria. That's just not on the cards. So they can wave their fist and say what they want for the sake of the news media, which is always going to love that. And the news media, again, as always in the U.S., has been at the forefront of the drive towards pushing the administration to war. That's been the case for as long as I can remember. The media in the U.S. has been far more pro-war than any administration over the course of the last 20 years, and has succeeded in pushing each of those administrations towards taking a more hawkish and warlike stance. So a lot of this is for the sake of the U.S. media. But there's nothing really that the U.S. government can do in terms of boots on the ground to drive out Russian or Iranian presence in those countries. So that's going to happen. And I mean, that's going to stay where it is. As far as the other countries in the region, they can choose to cooperate with Iran on some sort of regional security basis or not. Both Iran and Russia. But again, they have no say when it comes to driving Iran or Russia off the map in either of those countries. Their best fighters, frankly, when we're talking about the other countries in the region, their best fighters are now fertilizing the soils of Syria and Iraq because they fought under the banners of Daesh, Jabhat al-Nusra, Ahrar al-Sham, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Thank you, Navid Nasr, radio host and political commentator there.